Hello, and welcome to Genesee Valley Church's online service. Our theme for this year is Plus One, which encourages us to invite someone to join us in worship and fellowship. Our mission statement is simple. It's loving God, loving people, and loving life. We hope that this message will serve as a source of inspiration and encouragement for you. Each episode, we will explore different aspects of our faith, share stories of hope and healing, and discuss ways we can make a positive impact in our community and the world. So whether you're a longtime member of our church or just tuning in for the first time, we welcome you to join us on this journey. Let's make 2023 a year of growth, both for ourselves and for those around us. Thanks for listening. Here we go.
And it's the word that brings light. It illuminates our path. It gives us the ability to see where we're going, gives us insight as to the heart of God. And also the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so therefore the just shall live by faith. How many of you are just individuals? You're righteous. Amen. So we're going to purpose to walk and live by faith. And to walk and to live by faith means that we live by the word of God. I've said this to you a number of times. I said, you know, I love inspirational preaching. It's all well and good. I love those that are motivators, that motivate us to be better, to think better. But you realize that motivational speaking can get you inspired for the moment. But if there's nothing to inspire you to arise to, you just get an emotional up and down roller coaster feeling, because once again, it's the preaching of the word that changes our life. How many of you know that the Bible says that the gospel is the good news? Come on, I said that the gospel is good news. And so we're living in a time where we need good news. Praise the Lord. And so I hope that this will just stir you this morning and encourage you. In fact, for that matter, there's a few different things that we'll touch on. But really, in my message, there are going to be several things that this could be applicable to. I'm not going to apply it to necessarily one kind of thing, but you can apply it to where it's needed. You can apply it to your church. You can apply it to your faithfulness to your church. You can apply it to your relationship with God. You can apply it to your relationship with one another, or whatever it is that you set your hand to. Once again, these will be some things that you can apply on a regular basis, and we as a people. How many of you know that God has called us to change the landscape of every arena of our life? And too oftentimes what happens is that the body of Christ allows the platform or allows the stage to be set or the landscape to be established for us. But God says, don't allow yourself or don't let the landscape be set for you. You change the landscape as to what you desire it to be, and more importantly, what I've ordained it to be. Praise God. So in other words, if you don't like the way that your church looks, do something about it. Amen. If you don't like the way your marriage looks, do something about it. Now, when I say in regards to that, obviously there's the God side, but God's not going to do everything for us. Right? I was talking with a pastor friend just not too long ago. Actually, just a couple of weeks ago. And he was struggling about some things. And he was saying, you know, God, I thought you were going to help me here. He said, I'm frustrated. And I was talking to the Lord and said, God, I thought you were going to send people. I thought you were going to send help. I thought you were going to help me here, God. Well, you realize that God wants and is available to help you, but God will do his part. We have to do our part, right? And so God's not going to do your part for you, right? I mean, he might send a good looking man or a woman across your path, but it's going to take you going up to say, hey, my name is, nice to meet you, right? You've got to do something about it. He can put a job in front of you, and you've got to do something about it. You've got to put your hand to the plow. You've got to be diligent. And so once again, there's the God side, but man, there's a whole lot that we have to do to cooperate with him. And he graces us and anoints us to do so. Praise God. Amen. So hey, I want to begin this morning just to kind of share some this really personal experience over the past week. My son and I, we went hunting in Oklahoma. And, you know, I always purpose is to try to apply natural things, or I should say spiritual things, to natural things. As purposing, what do I draw from this experience and grow in my relationship with God? Or what would God help me in concerning this? What would he teach me? How can I grow from this experience? And so just to kind of share a little bit about our opportunity or our experience going hunting, we went down to southern Oklahoma. That's where my father-in-law lives. He has a ranch down there, and he's just got deer all over the place. And so in the middle of the summer, we went down there for my mother-in-law's funeral. And when I was down there, I put a lot of trail cams out. You know what trail cams are? They're cameras that you put out in the woods. And I got those cellular ones so I can be in Michigan and I'm getting pictures of all the deer that are coming by. And so in strategic places where I had set these cameras, I was getting some monster bucks that were walking by. I mean, they had some, they just had some pretty antlers to them. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be good. And so there was a couple that were my target bucks, or the deer that I was after. And so opening morning came, I'm sitting up in my tree. And it's interesting too, that whenever you go out there and set yourself up in the woods, you always start to second guess yourself. Like, man, I should have sat somewhere else. I shouldn't be here. I should be there. You know what I'm saying? And when it comes to life, don't we oftentimes second guess ourselves as to what we're doing? Well, man, maybe I shouldn't have done that. Maybe I should have done this. Well, I'm sitting there and I'm second guessing myself, thinking, oh, I just sat in the wrong place. And then not too long into it, about an hour into my sit, here comes the target buck. And I'm like, oh, this guy is dead. So I pulled up my gun. I kind of made some noise and he stopped and he just posed. You know, broadside. He looked good. His neck was sitting, his antlers, and I'm like, oh. And I go to pull the trigger, and there's nothing. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Maybe I left the safety on. So I look at my gun. No, the safety's off. I put it up. He's still just standing there looking pretty. I put it on him again, and I pull the trigger, and nothing's happening. And so I'm squeezing as hard as I can. I'm like, what's the matter? And nothing happens. And so finally I realized that the action on the gun had not was not all the way closed. So I finally did that. And within the time frame, the deer got away. And so I'm frustrated. I'm thinking, oh, I mean, I had the opportunity of a lifetime. He was there. But nevertheless, there was some satisfaction in the fact that I was in the right place at the right time. My research, my efforts, my strategies came together, and the buck was dead. It just was an issue of the gun. You know, so there was some kind of satisfaction with that. So with my son being there, you know, he came down for the first time with me to go hunting. And while we're there, he's going out with me in the evenings. And so I've missed my target buck, but now I've got to separate or spend some of my time with my son and go out with him. Well, that means it's a whole different strategy. It's a whole different way. We got a little blind that we have to set up. And so for me as a dad, I'm wanting to be selfish. You know what I mean? I'm wanting to be selfish and say, like, man, it would be a whole lot easier if I just go out in the woods by myself, climb up in a tree, and therefore I don't have, you know, a wiggly son with me, you know, that's constantly moving and asking questions, you know. It's just, but then it's just like, no, this is a sacrifice of a father, because I want to create moments with my son to come out and do this together. And so we're hunting together night after night after night, and we had wonderful opportunities. Every night we saw deer, but the pieces of the puzzle just were not coming together. You know what I mean? You know, for one thing or another. But nevertheless, we continued to go out. Now, after you have gone out several times, you know, you get up early in the morning before the sun breaks, and you go sit in the woods a long time before the sun comes up. And then you go out in the evening and you sit out there until the sun goes down. And sometimes it's extremely cold. And so you're exerting yourself. And after you have spent yourself physically, naturally, mentally, emotionally, and having no success, you start to get tired. You know what I mean? And then on top of that, my son, we were sleeping in the same room together. And is it a twin? You know, it's not a queen size. It's the next one that's kind of, it's a full. Okay, it was a full. Well, you know, so obviously as a husband and wife, you get used to sleeping next to each other and you have your space. But, you know, he's just 12 years old. He don't know how to, his bed is his bed. And if he's in the bed, it's his bed to have. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, he is all over the place. Elbows, I mean, arms coming over, you know, knee coming up in the back of me. It's just like, oh, dear God. And so we would go to bed early. But I'm telling you what, 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm wide awake and I can't go back to sleep. So not only am I getting tired because we've been hunting and hunting, I'm not getting sleep now. You know what I mean? And so I'm really tired physically and emotionally. But we keep going after it. You just dig deep, right? In fact, one time, I'll share this with you. We were sitting in one blind and we hadn't sat in this spot yet. And it was where the trail camera was. And so we had seen bucks in that area. Well, then two came out. And Dad, he's like, Dad, those are shooters. And so they came out in a way that he couldn't get to them. So I took the gun and I came up and I had him in my sights, you know. And I'm like, I'm going to kill this deer. And my son says to me, he says, what are you doing? I said, well, you can't get them from where you're at. I said, but I got them in my sights right now. He said, well, Dad, what are you doing? He said, what did I even come out here for? Once again, you got to make a sacrifice. And I'm like, okay. So I sat the gun back down, got him settled. They came around and came back in, but just did not come in with his field of range. But nevertheless, it was with the intent to make memories and a sacrifice to spend time together. You tracking with what I'm saying? And so with all that being said, night after night, morning after morning, being tired physically, emotionally, mentally, but saying to yourself, just one more time. Just one more time. Because if you're not in the woods, you can't get a deer that you're not having the opportunity to see if you're still in bed, right? So it's always just one more time. Just one more time. Just one more time. Maybe this is the time. And so that's the title of my message this morning. Just one more time. Just one more time. What am I talking about? I said to you, my message this morning is in conjunction with every aspect of our life. Our church, what you call home as church, your relationships, your relationship with God, everything about your life. God is saying, I understand you're facing obstacles. I understand that things aren't coming together necessarily the way that you would like them to. I understand you have dreams and desires, but I'm asking you, will you give me just one more time? Will you give it just one more time to see me move? Will you give it one more time to see the desired outcome come to pass? Will you just give me one more time? How many of you are ready just to give God one more opportunity? Because again, if you'll give him one more opportunity, it could be just in that next opportunity that everything that you desire will come to pass. And how many of you know that the devil knows exactly what you've talked about? And whatever you give yourself to, whether you've talked negatively or whether you've talked positively, he will feed whatever you give yourself to. Right? So you might have a desired outcome. You might say, well, I want to see things. I want to see things here or there in my relationships, in my church, whatever the case might be. But if your purpose to agree with God, then God will hook up with you and he'll give you the fortitude and the fuel and the energy and the desire to just give it one more time. But if you'll start talking about or giving thought to or giving place to all of the negative, all of the woulda, coulda, shouldas, then you know the enemy is going to just, you know, step up to the plate and say, oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you didn't think about this. Well, let me remind you of this and let me tell you about that and let me say this and say that. What's he doing? He's wanting you to get to the place where it's like, no, no, I've already given it enough. No more opportunities, no more changes. Listen, if you don't give it one more time, you don't have the ability to see the landscape change. Right? And so I want to bring your attention this morning to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5, starting in verse 1. And so I'm going to read a portion of scripture here, and then I'm going to come back and talk on some things concerning this one more time. Notice what it says here, beginning in verse 1. It says, so it was as the multitude pressed about him to hear the word of God, that he stood by the lake of the Gennesaret and saw two boats standing by the lake. But the fishermen had gone from them and were washing their nets. Then he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the multitude from the boat. When he had stopped speaking, he said to Simon, he said, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. But Simon answered and said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and caught nothing. Nevertheless, at your word, I'll let down the net. And when they had done this, they caught a great number of fish, and their net was breaking. So they signaled to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the son of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." So when they had brought their boats to land, they forsook all to follow him or follow Jesus. All right, so this is a story that you're familiar with. But again, I want to bring out some bullet points, if you will, that is pertinent for the hour in which we're living. Number one, the Bible says that Jesus came on the scene. How many of you know that Jesus comes on your scene all the time? Whatever the circumstance is, Jesus shows up at church every Sunday. The question is do we engage or respond to him? He shows up at your workplace. He shows up in your marriage. He shows up everywhere that you go. The question is are we responding to Jesus when he shows up? And notice what he says to Peter. He says, Peter, he said, let down your nets. And Peter responded and said to him, he says, Master, we have toiled all night. So this is what they do for a living. They go out at night and they try to catch fish. And so Peter responds to him and says, Lord, we've been working hard. I mean, we have done this for a living. We know how to fish and we've been out there all night. I mean, we've given it our best effort, but we didn't catch a single fish. So you could say that for Peter, he was spent emotionally, mentally, physically, because they had been doing what they were known to do. This is my profession. And we don't know their circumstance. I mean, he could have had some difficult nights of fishing. And how many of you know when you're trying to see things differently and it's at nighttime and you're not seeing the outcome or the desire you want to see in your life? How many of you know that the nighttime can get more dark as a result of the circumstances that you're facing? Amen. Once again, you know how it is. You can go to sleep at night, be all comfortable, tucked in your bed, and it's nighttime and it's dark. But all of a sudden, you hear something. All of a sudden, nighttime changes, doesn't it? Why? Because I heard something that don't sound like it ought to. I remember this was a few years back. My wife and I, we had our bedroom downstairs. And this was like, I don't know, 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning. I heard a crash in the garage. And I'm thinking to myself, did I just hear that? And it woke you up out of a dead sleep. And so I'm thinking, well, I don't hear anything else. Maybe it was just my imagination. So I started to allow myself to settle back down. And then my wife says to me, hey, did you hear that? And I'm like, oh, I guess I did hear that too, you know. And then I had to get up. You know, well, when you're getting up, now again, I don't want to paint too much of a graphic picture, you know. But, you know, getting up in the middle of the night, you don't really worry about what you look like or what you have on when you get up, you know. But I did go get some reinforcements, and so I'm creeping up the stairs with my gun. It's just my underoos on, man, you know, and I'm going out in the garage. I don't care who's out there. I don't care, you know what, I'm just taking care of business. And then I figured out, you know, what it was that created the noise. What's my point? Is that when you are in the midst of the dark or in the night, depending on the circumstance, it can make your night even darker, right? And so you don't know whether or not Peter had a slump of fishing. You don't know whether or not he had some bills that were due the next day and he was counting on that catch. You don't know his circumstance. And in the midst of it, he says to Jesus, "We have been toiling. We have been working. We have been doing this. But there's not the outcome that we desire." And Jesus says, "Will you give it just one more time?" He says, "Will you give it just one more try?" And he says, "Well, nevertheless, at your word," he said, "we'll cast out the net." Did you catch it? Have you ever seen that in the scripture? Jesus said, "Throw out your nets," plural. And Peter says, "All right, we'll pacify you." And once again, how many of you know that where you used to be gung-ho, you used to be real excited and you went all out with everything that you have. But after experiencing time and time again the failure or the dead end or the bumps in the road or just the outcome you don't desire, you used to give it 100% and go all out. But now it's just one net that I'm throwing out because, again, it's just a Hail Mary. Right? And so what did he do? He says, "Nevertheless, at your word, we'll let out a net." And what took place? As a result, the Bible says that they had such a catch, amen, that it caused them to break the nets. But once again, how did that start out? It started out by being skeptical, right? He said, "Nevertheless, I'll do this." Have you ever been in that position where you're skeptical, whether it's in church and pastor saying, "Come on, give it one more time"? When it comes to your relationship and God saying, "Give it one more time"? When it comes to you trusting God and he's saying, "Give it just one more time"? But you're skeptical because you've seen with the natural eye and experienced everything else, and you're tired emotionally and physically and mentally, but something on the inside is compelling you. Are you here this morning? I said, there's all of this outside stuff and the people that are talking at you here and talking at you there, but something on the inside says, maybe I should just give it one more try. Maybe I'll just give it one more try. And upon responding to the inward leading, God does something. And the Bible says that the nets were breaking. Now, I want to ask you a question. I'll say it this way in regards to the hunting experiences. When you're sitting there in the cold, and you've been there for a while and you're shivering and you're thinking, "Oh dear God, I haven't saw anything. Oh, I'm in the wrong place at the wrong time and I should have been here, and I'm tired and I'm cold. I'm just going to get up and I'm going to go." But all of a sudden you catch movement in the trees and you see the deer. Once you see the deer, do you know what your consciousness becomes aware of? Not your cold, not your tiredness, not what you've been doing for the last 3 hours. All you know is right now, I see what I've been sitting here for all along, and here he comes, right? And so they're tired. Peter says, "We've toiled all night, but now the net is full. It's breaking." Do you think for a moment he is conscious of what was, what could have been or should have been, or how tired he was and how hard he's been working? No, all he knows is that this net is full with fish. And what do you think happens in that moment? The adrenaline starts going. And the excitement starts to build. And they start to laugh. And they're excited. And like, "Dear God, did you see?" And you can only imagine Peter saying, "I only threw out one net. I should have threw them all out, man." Right? And then what happens? Oh, you see, when you're conscious of all the negativity, oh, you'll find somebody to talk to. You'll find somebody that will give you an ear. Because they, in fact, somebody's looking for your ear from time to time. Haven't you noticed? People look for your ear to talk into because all they can see is the negativity. But all of a sudden, when God started to move and the excitement, because they said, we'll give it just one more time. Then the Bible says that they called out to their friends and says, we need your help. Come on, check it out. Right? And listen, see the picture. You know, initially Peter was like, man, we've toiled all night. I mean, we've given it our best. But okay, you know, that's your word. I'll put out a net. Do you think that was the same demeanor? Hey, John. Hey, Philip. Hey, come on. Hey, come on. No. The countenance was changed. There was no more tired countenance. They were excited. And whenever you see God begin to move because you've said, I'll give it one more time, it immediately begins to affect other people. And your excitement and contagiousness of what God is doing, it gets off on other people. And all of a sudden, there is a party that starts happening. Amen. You've been saying, I've been waiting for a long time, and I've done it here, and I gave it one more time there. But listen, God's asking you, will you give it just one more time? Because something is just about ready to happen. There's about ready to be a boat sinking, net breaking opportunity that comes our way because we said, God, I'll give it one more time. And then therefore we get to see people enjoy in the labor that you have given all along. Can somebody say amen? But then after all this is being said and done, they get there and Peter sees the move of God, that something about this man changed my life. And it says that he fell at Jesus' knees and repented. It said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. You see, we think that we got to tell people that they're full of sin and that they're going to hell. All we got to do is see the manifestation of God's goodness and involve and invite people. And what happens? Repentance starts taking place. There are some things within your own personal life, with mine, that God is saying, I need you to repent. I need you to get some things right. I need you to just give me one more opportunity in this area. But what's he wanting to do first? He's not saying, well, if you'll repent, if you'll get all your act together, I'll do this. No, listen, God is just wanting to say, will you give me one more opportunity? And I'm getting ready to show you something, that when you see how good I am and how big I am and how great I am and what I'll do for your life, there will be an instinctive something on the inside that says, God, oh, forgive me. God, I just want more of you. God, I just need more of you. Forgive me that I have not given you that opportunity. Forgive me that I've let other things become. Lord, forgive me. I just want more of Jesus in my life. Can somebody say amen? And when you begin to share and invite other people to experience the fruit of your one more time, it will cause them to turn to Jesus. And then after they get to shore, Jesus says these words to Peter. He says, now don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why did he say don't be afraid? You think he was saying don't be afraid because of what you just saw here? No. He said don't be afraid because of the next thing that he was going to ask of him. He said, you've seen this and you've experienced it personally. He said, but now, not only are you a fisherman, he said, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. So in other words, when you say to God, I'll give you one more shot. I'll give you one more time. I'll give my church one more shot. I'll give my service of ministry one more time. And you allow God to begin to move. What ends up happening is God begins to shift our hearts. And then the scripture says this, that they abandoned all. They left all to follow Jesus. It was this day that Jesus became Lord for Peter. See, God is wanting us to get to the position and place of our life where Jesus is Lord. Where none of the other stuff that has been tiring us and fatiguing us, wearing us out mentally and emotionally and physically, he's saying, I'm looking for you to give me just one more opportunity to rock your world. And when he does, we'll begin to have a heart for what he's passionate about. It'll be about people. Amen. You know, the Bible says this, that Jesus is the beginning and the end. So in Jesus, the beginning and the end look much the same. And how Jesus' ministry began is much what we'll see at the end of Jesus' ministry when he comes again. And that is this, is that there are going to be people that are about what he's passionate about. There are going to be people that say, I recognize that people are lost and they need Jesus. And therefore, God is asking, will you give me just one more time? You hear me say it, if not every Sunday, almost every Sunday, and that is this, that Jesus is coming soon. And I hope that you sense that in every fiber of your being, because it will affect everything about your life. But let me share with you this, how I know that Jesus is coming soon. When I went to Oklahoma, my sister and brother-in-law came down to spend the holiday with us. And I've shared with you before that my brother-in-law is from Lebanon. He's Muslim. He doesn't know Jesus. About 5 years ago, his diabetes got extremely severe and he almost died. He was in ICU. And my wife was praying for him, and she said, Lord, he can't die. I refuse for you to allow him to die, because if he dies, he's going to hell. And he can't go to hell. And so that week that he was in ICU, in and out of a coma, later we found out that there was a man in white standing up against the wall the whole time that he was there. Every time he opened his eyes, there was the man standing there. My sister-in-law, that does not walk with Jesus right now, but once did, her question was this: was it Jesus? And he said, I don't know. I just told him I wasn't ready yet. Well, we've continued to pray for him and our family. And so this particular time we began to talk. And obviously, him being from Lebanon, he takes a very different stance concerning Israel and everything that's going on. And he's very one-sided in his beliefs. And so he started to bait me into the conversation concerning Israel, Hamas, and all those things. And finally, I just told him, I said, you know, I said, I realize that we see things differently. I realize that you're from there and therefore you have a very strong conviction based upon what's going on. And I said, but you know, my desire is not to argue. I said, I would rather just love you. And he says, oh, I don't want to argue. He said, that's not my point. But you realize whenever you have one side of a conviction, you argue your belief. It is an argument. And I said, I just want to love you. After I said that, he started to ask me about Jesus. And we started talking about the punishment of sin. And he asked me the question. He says, why would Jesus do that? And so I got to share with him why. I got to share with him about the blood of Jesus and the significance of that. And he said to me toward the end, after we talked for a good while, he says, well, I still only believe that Jesus is a prophet. And he stayed true to his beliefs. But here's the thing. He's never asked me about Jesus. So Jesus is coming soon. He's coming soon. And he's asking you, will you give me one more opportunity to know you before the time comes? To share my love with people before I come? And you might say, will he come to Jesus? I believe that he will. But here's one of the things that I know. When you think about him and his upbringing, it is so ingrained in him that there's these opposing sides. And so as he's asking me about Jesus, and as I'm telling him this, it's as though I'm telling him a fairy tale story of something that I know. And I tell him that. I said, listen, this is not about a religion. It's not about a story in a book. I said, it's not about me trying to tell you that you're wrong. I said, the only thing that I can tell you is that I know him. I know him. And he's changed my life. And just like in the account, when Jesus says, will you give me one more time? Will you cast your nets one more time? It's not about you arguing or trying to talk somebody into something or yourself into something. God said, I'll come up alongside of you when you'll give me one more time, and I'll put on such a display, such a demonstration, so that people, you won't have to argue theology. You won't have to argue belief systems. All they'll have to do is wrestle with the manifestation that is right before them, the love of God. And at that point, they will have to choose, do I believe in what I see or what I believed? But God is wanting for you to give him just one more time. Because he's saying, I'm getting ready to do something. You're getting ready to see something. Don't look back to what you've seen, what you've heard, what you've felt. Don't look back to where you've been tired here and tired there. Will you give me one more time? Because I'm getting ready to sink your ship. I'm getting ready to fill your nets. I'm getting ready to change your world. Will you give me one more time? So I'm asking you, will you give him one more time? We give.
And with that, we come to the end of this episode. We hope that you have found inspiration and encouragement in our discussion today, and we invite you to join us again next week. Let's make 2023 a year of growth and love by sharing the message of our church with others. We encourage you to take the Plus One Challenge this week and invite someone to join you at our next worship service. You can get more information about our church and say hi to us anytime from our website or social media, all online at gvchurch.tv. Thanks for listening. We are Genesee Valley Church, loving God, loving people, and loving life.